Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You might have heard by now the announcement closure of ArcelorMittal plants in Newcastle in KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Vereeniging in Gauteng, resulting in the loss of about 3,500 jobs. Now, the National Union of Mine Workers is stepping up the fight for the closure of those plants, a move that could result, as we mentioned, in losses in excess of 3,000 jobs. NUMSA has expressed deep concern over the potential impact of these closures on workers, local communities and the broader manufacturing and industrial sectors. The union is now calling for urgent government intervention, as they believe that the closure of these plants would not only exacerbate the already high levels of unemployment and inequality, but also hinder the country's industrialization efforts. Joining us now is Phakamile Hlubi-Majola, who's a NUMSA spokesperson. A very good evening to you, Phakamile, and Happy New Year to you.
Good evening, Tshepiso. Good evening to your listeners, and compliments of the new season to you, my sister. Thank you for having me on the show.
I realize I used the wrong word by saying Happy New Year as we're talking about job losses. Freudian slip there.
Are you forgiven?
So it must be, and I'm just thinking about what a major blow it must be to go into the new year with that level of insecurity before you, and there are those who are saying it's government's fault, and I don't want to make assumptions here, but do you agree that had government intervened earlier, that maybe this might not have happened?
I think, you know, what we are trying to do as a union more than anything is to ensure that we resolve this. So we don't really want to blame government, but ArcelorMittal, if you look at what they have said in their statements, what they have communicated to employees, is they have expressed disappointment in the fact that government has not acted. And because the issues that they are raising now are issues that they raised in December of 2023, if you recall. They made this announcement in 2023. And they even served us with a Section 189 notice. And we were even engaging in consultation for retrenchment. And then what happened is that as a union, we initiated a conversation between themselves and DTIC so that government could, and the Office of the Presidency, so that they could engage each other, because the issues that they were raising were issues of policy. ArcelorMittal has been saying since then that the environment for them to trade in is hostile. If you look at, for example, the fact that the economy is where it is at the moment, we've not grown much, as you know, and we don't seem to be growing. Manufacturing in South Africa has really suffered a lot over the last couple of years, especially we've deindustrialized a lot. Promises were made, if you recall, when earlier in the year, when the president said that they would turn this country into a construction site, that has not happened. And if they're not, if we're not seeing that type of activity, then obviously it means that companies like ArcelorMittal, which are steel making companies, are not going to generate the kind of revenue that they hope to make. And what has exacerbated the situation is the dumping of steel from Asia. So, what ArcelorMittal wanted was for, you know, changes in terms of policy, changes that would result in more protectionism for local steelmakers, so that they are able to compete, because they've said that the environment for them is uncompetitive.
And this brings me to the question where, with every budget speech, we hear government saying that a lot of money goes into infrastructure spending. And as you say, that protection measures were being sought by ArcelorMittal, just in terms of, for instance, taxes to ensure that they are able to fend off these hostile conditions by having those security measures like export tax. So If this is part of the industrialization and economic revitalization policy when government is talking about building the South African economy, should this not have then been done a long time ago? And I'm not trying to take you back, but I'm just looking at the pace of reform and development that we're talking about in this transition.
It is very concerning. And I mean, you know, the fact that we are now facing, I mean, you have to raise those questions, because the problem is that the decision not to act is now has now led to the fact that we are now facing a situation where 3,000 families are going to suffer extremely because they're about to lose breadwinners. Those breadwinners are about to lose their jobs. So the inaction of government has a direct impact on the lives of its citizens. And it is very disappointing that whilst promises were made, we've not seen them live up to those promises, and it's affecting us. So yes, I guess we can lay the blame at the foot of government, but at the same time, government is the only one that has the power to change the situation. And it is our position as a union that they must do so, and they must do so quickly, because this is not a small matter. We're a country of more than 40% unemployment if you include those who've given up looking for work. We've got extremely high levels of poverty, and we're the most unequal society in the world. Does it make sense that we should fold our arms and do nothing when something can be done? And this is why NUMSA has said that we have a responsibility to, you know, play our role and amplify the calls that AMSA is making for assistance. And we are also calling on government to intervene and to do something. Because if we lose those jobs, the likelihood is that they will not be replaced. If you consider that the areas that are going to be directly affected here, it's Newcastle and it's Vereeniging in Sidibeng. If you go to any of those areas, these are not areas where job opportunities are easy to find. So if you lose a job like being employed at ArcelorMittal South Africa, in all likelihood, you are not going to get that another job elsewhere. And this is what we are trying to prevent.
And in Newcastle, Phakamile, what is the picture like? Somebody was saying it could be something as 1 in 2 or 1 in 3 families are employed by ArcelorMittal. So I'd imagine that would mean a whole community then is disenfranchised.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, first of all, the numbers are quite high. I mean, ArcelorMittal employs about 9,200 employees, and that would include contractors. So you're losing their 3.5 of the workforce. You're talking here, if you're looking at, you're talking workers who are people that would traditionally fall into what you'd say is blue-collar workers. And you're absolutely right. In an area like Newcastle, which is not as industrialized as, you know, some of the larger metros, that loss is potentially devastating, because who is going to employ that worker, you know? So really, this is, and unfortunately, we've had to struggle on a lot of these things. This is not the first time where we've had to, you know, raise the alarm around job losses. NUMSA's been very active and very vocal on the issue that we have a government that is not focusing enough on industrialization and manufacturing. Those are the spaces that can create massive employment opportunities. And we're not seeing our government being energized to try and deal with those issues so that we can ensure that communities, especially communities in small towns like Newcastle, that those local economies are sustained and we keep the jobs there. Because if the jobs disappear there, this is part of the reason why we have high levels of people migrating from rural areas to the cities, because they think there's jobs in the cities. But what we should really be doing is ensuring that the jobs that exist in small towns are retained so that we are able to employ young people in those towns and therefore build the economies in those small towns.
And it's actually counter to government's own stated human settlements policy of building, of industrializing in rural areas to ensure that there are more jobs and that you reduce the congestion in terms of migration to the urban areas. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, Phakamile, is have you as unions, and I'm not doubting that you have, but I'm curious what government's response would have been when you sit around the table and you say, surely this will lead to a trade deficit, that surely this would lead to a greater reliance on export markets. What has been the response? Has there at least been an alarm that registers about these impending conditions?
So what we know is that they did have an engagement, and the issues around the dumping of steel and a request from ArcelorMittal for government to implement more protectionist policies, pardon me, for local companies. But according to the media reports that I've seen where the CEO has commented on this, he has said that despite the engagement and all of these issues being raised with government, even back then in December of 2023, whilst promises were made, they've not acted. And that seems to be the problem. So, and we've also said in our statement that we are calling on them to act, because it's at the end of the day, if we are back where we started in December of 2023, it means that whatever was resolved, if anything was resolved, has not worked. You know, the conditions have not changed. And we are at the point where it is going to require government intervention. If we're going to sort of throw our hands in the air and hope for the best, the situation is not going to change. It's only going to worsen. We are literally watching a car crash happen in front of our eyes, and the state still has time to step in and can do something. So our hope as a union is that this is what we'd like government to do. We know that they have the capacity and the power to actually turn the situation around. The ball is literally in their court.
So if there is an industrial policy overhaul, such as, for instance, withdrawing the preferential pricing for those metals that are in direct competition, would that save more jobs? And if so, how many?
Well, right now we're looking at 3,500 jobs that are being threatened at AMSA. And those would be the ones, I guess, that immediately would be the ones that come to mind in terms of trying to protect. But my understanding is that there are other companies in the steel sector that have experienced difficulties. So I think this would have a sort of a far-reaching impact. And overall, it would be better for the steel sector if we could see those types of changes. But I think what is really important is that this engagement must happen, and it must involve not just the labor unions, but also involve those who'd be affected. We, for example, have said that if this shutdown happens, it will also affect the auto sector. It will also affect components companies, because they rely on ArcelorMittal. So it really is in our interests as a country to do something about this situation. You're possibly finding that you're looking at more than 3,500 jobs that are on the line, because if you're looking at the value chain, the effect is often much more than that.
So what's the next step for NUMSA and your partners, your allies?
So right now we're just waiting for, so whilst this memo was communicated, we have not yet been served with the Section 189 notice. And we are also waiting for a meeting with the AMSA management. I just got off the phone with the regional secretary of Sidibeng region, and he confirmed to me that whilst they have been communicating with the CEO, there was actually an expectation to meet today, but it seems that a new date has been communicated, so they'll be meeting soon. And then once we meet, and if we do have that first Section 189 meeting, it's usually at that meeting where we get a more clear and detailed picture of the true state of the company and, you know, the way forward. So we right now have not, we've not been served, as I said, and we're waiting for that engagement so that, you know, we can do more. But for right now, we really are urging the state to work with us to find a solution so that we can make sure that we try and save all of these jobs.
So I just want to find out, because I read somewhere suggesting that, you know, in terms of this competitive edge through government policies, it favors electric arc furnace production. What are we talking about here?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
The question is, I read somewhere that, you know, part of the concerns that have been raised by ArcelorMittal in terms of the intense competition and scrap-based steel makers that they face, they've seen that the competitive edge gained through government policies favors electric arc furnace production. So as somebody who's obviously not an expert in this field, I was just curious, what exactly are we talking about here? What in actual terms?
That's not an area that I personally have an in-depth understanding of. My understanding of the situation was more based on what they had communicated to us about the things that were pressuring their business. As I said, they mentioned the issue of the dumping of steel. I think those are things that they probably would have raised in the engagements with government. We were not in that session. So hopefully when we meet, they'll be able to give us more information, and then we'll be able to share with you what some of those additional issues are.
I'd like to end with the human aspect of it. The longer these negotiations and the longer the stagnation on this issue goes on, what happens to those families who face this uncertain future? And what, I know there's very little you can do, but what could you possibly do as NUMSA in alleviating or at least encouraging people?
Well, what we do know is that if the retrenchments do go ahead, AMSA has indicated that it would assist in finding job opportunities for those who lose work as a result of the retrenchments. What we obviously hope that there would be something that can be done. But more than anything, our focus is to try and prevent it altogether. Our primary goal is to try and get government back on the table, to get a discussion going and to get plans implemented. That is our primary focus, especially because this is happening for a second time. And we are concerned that this time around, we might not be able to prevent you know, this from occurring. If you recall, in December, when there was a section of ArcelorMittal's business, the Coke Battery 6 and 7, which they were preparing to shut down because it was old and wasn't performing at its peak. And as a result of that, they wanted to retrench 107 workers. And we intervened as a union, and we were able to negotiate with the employer to ensure that these workers were reinstated, because they were actually retrenched. Mm. We negotiated for them to be reinstated, and we're currently working with government on a training layoff scheme for those 107 workers, so that government, because there is a mechanism that exists where if a company experiences financial difficulty, funds are made available for, I think, up to a year to pay for salaries, up to about 75%. to keep the business going and to find a different plan. So what I'm saying is that for us, we have a track record of taking whatever steps are necessary to try and save jobs. And right now, our focus is to get government on board, because we're dealing now with 3,500 employees and we're dealing with issues that relate to government policy. And we are hoping that we will be able to ensure that we get an outcome that can prevent the losses of these jobs, because it's not just about saving the jobs at AMSA. It's about saving all the jobs in the value chain. And this could potentially be a major disaster if it's not properly managed.
And we thank you so much for that, sharing the latest developments on what really could truly be a disaster, not only for the economy, but as you can imagine, of thousands of families, as 3,500 jobs are likely to be lost, or hopefully not, with ArcelorMittal South Africa. Phakamile Hlubi Majola is NUMSA's spokesperson.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.